So what did I just do, other than mess up the music? I just proclaimed to you the movable feasts of the upcoming church family calendar year. These are the biggest feasts of the year. And so we do have calendars available. Mark them down and make sure you're present for those. This is a family. These are traditions that have been lost over the many years in our lifetimes. Maybe some of you do remember when this was part and parcel of the liturgical practice, and they've got shoved aside to our loss. So these are the dates that kind of mark our year, just like our birthdays and our anniversaries and all those other family events that we put on the calendar. Put these down as well. Because we celebrate the manifestation of God. That's Epiphany. Epiphany means just that, manifestation. I was listening to Bishop Barron's homily this morning when I was getting ready, and he pointed out that the Greek word epiphaneia means like a hyper manifestation. It's not just an appearance, it's a hyper manifestation. God was no longer hidden. God was invisible, and He is. He's pure spirit, but He made Himself visible through the divine, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Jesus the Christ. He's no longer hidden. He's manifest. I want to look at this through two historical events. One from long ago, and one from just last week. 1914, middle of 1914, June, July, I don't know the exact date, World War I began. It was supposed to be a quick war. I don't know why that's a detail. That doesn't make it a good war. War is hell. Literally, war is hell. It was supposed to be a quick war, but by that Christmas, in those 5 months, almost 1 million people, soldiers and civilians alike, had lost their lives. Around the beginning of Advent that year, Pope Benedict XV, the namesake predecessor of our Holy Father Emeritus, who just died, he urged the leaders of the warring countries to stop the war, but at least in honor of Christmas, to call a truce. They wouldn't hear of it. War was going to continue. If you remember from your history classes, World War I employed what was called trench warfare. They would dig these parallel trenches, sometimes as close as 30 yards apart. They could communicate verbally, and they would, throwing slanderous epithets towards one another, if that's the right word, insults. On Christmas Eve came and the weather was cold. It was clear. Their trenches had turned from mud to ice, actually making it more bearable, as they would report. The British soldiers in the darkness could hear faint singing. And pretty soon from the German side, one voice became two, became four and five and more, and down along the trenches, the German soldiers were singing a Christmas hymn that the British, though they couldn't understand the language, recognized, Silent Night. And he listened in awe. Some of the British commanders ordered rapid fire on the Germans, and some of the soldiers obeyed, most did not. And the Germans kept singing, "Silent Night." Their hymn concluded, and the British responded by singing, I believe, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And one of the lookouts on the British side warned the whole line, someone's coming. That distance, that space between the trenches was called no man's land. Someone is breaching no man's land. They raised their rifles at the ready. But then they could see in what little light there was a white flag. In one hand of this German soldier, and in his other hand, a little Christmas tree with candles stuck to it. And there began the truce of Christmas 1914. The soldiers all came out of their trenches, and there they exchanged gifts. The Germans, sausage and chocolates. The British, cigarettes and whiskey. Hey, you got what you got. It's the thought that counts, right? And there are these men who were just hours ago trying to kill one another. We're basking in the peace on the birthday of the Prince of Peace. Tragically, morning came, went back to their trenches, and continued killing one another. That event would never happen again. Last Monday night, I'm sure many of you were watching Monday Night Football, an important game in football. And early in the first quarter, in a routine play, the Buffalo Bills, is he a safety, came up and made a hit, routine hit. He went to get up from it, stumbled back, and began fighting for his life, cardiac arrest, 24 years old. I just turned the game on just after it happened. And I heard on Monday Night Football, first thing I heard was the studio announcers, not the play-by-play. They'd gone to the studio already, talking about prayer. And how the whole stadium was praying for DeMar. And I heard one of the studio reporters, announcers, almost apologetically say, "Well, you know, I guess we don't normally talk about this, but I'm gonna. We need to pray for this young man because prayer changes things." And it does. What was it that brought peace and unity and brotherhood to those two very different situations? You could say faith. And as I was preparing for this, that's what I initially thought. Then it occurred to me, that's not true. It was not faith that ushered in peace and brotherhood. Because Before the truce in the trenches in 1914, all of these guys on both sides had faith, and yet they still tried to kill each other. On Monday night, the stadium was filled with people with faith. It wasn't faith by itself that made the difference. It was the practice of the faith that made the difference. Making God present and no longer hidden. That makes all the difference, not just in the world, but in the whole universe. What does St. James say? Faith without works is dead. God doesn't want to be hidden. He wants to be present in our hearts, in the very interior of our lives, so that we can epiphaneia, manifest Him, hyper-manifest Him in our everyday lives. Why is there war? Why is there violence in the streets? Why is there discord in all different kinds of relationships? You say, well, but we're people of faith. But do we keep Christ hidden? We keep our faith private. Called a manifesting. The great English statesman,
trust me, he exists.
It is at, it's 8:30. Edmund Burke, there we go. I'm no historian, I'm not an Edmund Burke scholar, I just heard this from somebody who's smarter than me. But Edmund Burke said famously, all evil needs to succeed is for good men and women to say and do nothing. That's it. Is God in your heart? Of course He is. You're here. I don't doubt that for a second. At the end of Mass, heed these words, and I'm calling, talking to myself too. Go, glorify the Lord by your life. Epiphany. Manifest Him to everybody around you in your everyday life. You don't have to pound on Bibles, you don't have to pound on doors. We just can't be afraid to make Him present to those around us. If we're not, the war can end. Whatever form that war takes.